Welcome back to another episode of Laser Graves. This is a podcast about the 80s. I am your co-host, E.K. Wimmer.
Hi, E.K. Wimmer. I am Mariah Rose.
Lord of the Dogs.
Oh, you brought it back.
Yeah, you haven't mentioned that in a while.
Well, I feel like it's so true that I don't have to mention it.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, all dogs love me.
Okay. Well, this week is special. Do you know why?
No.
It's our 50th episode!
You've been doing this forever.
It has been a long time now. I'd say at like 50, it's legit now. Like, we can say, yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah, I felt legitimate right from the, right out the chute.
No, it's a big one. And because this is a big one, 50, we decided to do something special. This is going to be a pretty interesting episode.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest one we've tackled to date.
You want to know how prepared I am for this?
I do. I really do.
0%.
Oh, cool. So it's like early episodes.
Hey, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's
very
nice.
Little legwork.
You could just sit there and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. This week, we are bringing you an event. So, yes, on our podcast, we do movies, books, but music. This one's music, but it's more an event from the 80s.
Yep.
And I think the last one we did was the history of the Garbage Pail Kids. Was that our last event?
Yeah, I think so.
This one is by far, though, pretty colossal as far as research required.
It's one we've been talking about since the beginning. We didn't want to spill the beans too early.
Yeah, not only that, but yeah, when we talked about creating a podcast, we wrote down a list of maybe like 10 to 12 ones that we definitely wanted to do right away.
And it was just 1 through 12, this subject.
Yeah, but this was like basically right away. We knew this was a very unique topic. We didn't want to do it too early because we didn't have any listeners yet, and I don't think it's ever been discussed on a podcast to my knowledge, but
we're breaking new ground.
It hasn't been discussed by us, and that's all that matters.
Yep.
But this week we are talking about a very bizarre story from the 80s. True.
One that it lands real close to our hearts because of our previous home.
Yeah, it's there's many connections, not only just because we're a fan of the artist, but also because of where we lived for almost a decade. So,
yes. Yeah,
this week we are talking about when Prince went to Wyoming. And trust me, it is so bizarre. I mean, that topic already sounds bizarre, but you have no clue how bizarre it is.
It's like a tear in the space-time continuum.
Putting
those things together makes me feel itchy.
It's just... It's
like in my soul.
Too strange to be true, but it 100% happened. But before we get into it, because this is going to be a very interesting episode,
yeah.
Let's talk about some thrift store finds. Did you get anything this week?
Yes, I did. I did an 11th hour kind of thrift store effort because I went a couple times earlier in the week and just was having poopy luck. Why did I say that? Whatever. I was having bad luck.
I think I'm going to leave in you saying poopy luck.
I'm a mom. So I was having a hard time finding anything.
No, go on.
Okay, so I didn't find anything. And then today, as I went out to get our donuts, because we get family donuts every Saturday, and there's happens to be a thrift store near the donut shop. So I went in and I was making the rounds, not finding anything. And then I swear there was like a spotlight hitting, like reflecting into my eyes. And I turned and it was like the clouds parted, the angels sung, and there it was. It was a brass whale tape dispenser. It's old and it's heavy.
It is old. What do you think the year is?
1496.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
4 years after Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah, and he dropped that whale tape dispenser.
Yeah, he brought it back to the old world. And then somebody else brought it back.
Well, it is a relic. We'll post it on our Instagram.
It's cool.
It is cool. It's really cool.
I carried it, and our daughter was with us, and she went, "Are you really going to buy that thing?"
Man, our daughters, we're raising like mini us's, aren't
she
we?
She judged me, yeah, and I was like, yeah, and I'm not leaving it to you in the will. Bye.
Sucker.
I'm burying myself with it. Oh. I'm not going to bury myself. That would be weird.
Oh, like the crystal skull in Gramps in House 2, but instead it'll be a brass paperweight tape dispenser.
Of a whale. Of a whale. What was your find?
I went out today also, and I had surprisingly really good luck. Somebody had wheeled out a cart at a thrift store of only horror VHS, but this kind of hipster chick cut me off, and I don't care, because 9 times out of 10, I'm going to have most of the tapes anyway. Mm-hmm. So she grabbed a handful, and then I went over there and looked to see what was left, and it was, like, all the good stuff. There was some doubles, but I like to check to see if there are better versions than what I have.
So are you judging her hipsteriness? Like, she didn't know what was good?
No, not at all. I just figured that she must have already had some of those, too.
Sure. Wink.
But I found some interesting ones, and one of the ones that I've really been wanting, it's not the original version, which I'm after, but it's a later release, but it'll do for now, is Transylvania 65000 with Gina Davis.
I've never seen that, but I am a major Gina Davis fan.
This is like the height of her babeness, too, so this is really going to be a fun one. I've been wanting to do it on the podcast, but we didn't own it, so... We have it now.
Yeah, let's do it.
I definitely want to do it. It's a horror comedy.
Fun fact, I don't know if you know this about me, but I really wanted to be Gina Davis when I was little. Like, I just really wanted to be her.
She is too cool for school.
She is beautiful and brilliant. She has the best, like, face ever. It's one of those
great cheeks.
And, like, big old lips. It's all good. Everything's working for Gina Davis.
Yep.
Good job.
So I found that, Transylvania 65000, and then the big one I found, which was kind of a shock, was the original release of Jaws 2, this MCA copy that's like a black cover. It's very old, and I knew it existed, but it's super hard to find, and it mm-hmm. was sitting there. It's a little beat up, but not really. It's in pretty good shape overall, so...
But why would you want a VHS that looks like brand new?
Yeah, that's true. Kind of disappointing when it is brand new looking.
Yeah.
But what's the weird thing is I found this Jaws 2 early MCA version. It's got this, you know, cool black cover with the rainbow design and everything. And then I turned around to look at the books behind me because I'm always looking for horror novels, too. Mm-hmm. And right behind me on the bookshelf was the book version of Jaws 2.
So somebody just decided hated Jaws 2 this week.
Either that or it was just a coincidence and I bought them both.
What happens in Jaws 2 besides a shark?
More sharks.
Okay, just sharks.
So, yeah, those are our finds. But
there they are.
There you go. We got them.
Left it all on the dance floor.
You can see them on our Instagram, but mm-hmm. are you ready to get started?
Let's do this.
Okay, a little disclaimer to our listeners, because this is a different kind of episode. Rather than both of us taking notes and kind of chiming in, mm-hmm. this was all on me. This was really the thing that I wanted to do from day one when we first started the podcast. And I've researched it from time and time again. I look into it and then I'm mm-hmm. like, man, this is a really big topic. I don't know if I want to do it right now. And so I finally just dove in over the last week or two. I've just been taking notes and researching. And so this will be really heavy on me relaying all the information. And then you can just ask questions and chime in as you go along. But...
So it's lecture format?
It's definitely more of a lecture. It's more of an informational-based podcast for this episode.
Okay.
Instead of just us kind of running through a movie or something. So
okay. Let's
it's more
mix
like
it up.
If you like what you hear in this episode and you're a new listener, go back and listen to some of our other events like Max Headroom or The Noid or The True Story of Murray. Those kinds of event episodes is similar to what this will be. Are you ready?
Unload. Drop the bomb.
When Prince Went to Wyoming. 1986.
Ooh.
Okay, before we get started, mm-hmm. I have to kind of set the world in which this was happening, right?
Okay.
So before I start, my sources, because I went through a lot and I do kind of want to credit them because this is a rare time when I used a lot of other people's research to compile all this data into one.
Okay.
I looked at this People magazine interview from 2016 with the woman involved. a really great Daily Beast article from 2017, kind of looking back on this with one of the publicists that is insane. And then even our own Casper Star Tribune did a tiny article to commemorate back in the day.
And when you say our own, it's because we lived in Casper for nearly a decade.
Yes. And then other various websites, resources, YouTube clips, watching a lot of videos, live videos, performances, all that kind of stuff to get where I'm at.
So in typical fashion, you just went way overboard.
Yeah. Well, I wanted it to be thorough because it's never been compiled into one cohesive story. It's like all these are telling different versions of the same story, but not all together. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this will be more concise.
All right.
So we're talking about the one and only Prince, the late great Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to go into who he was or, you know, when he was born and all that. We know who Prince is. If not, I don't have time for that. But you can look
at
what
are
him.
You even doing if you don't know who Prince is? Go.
But what's important is that the time in which this happened. This is a time which is right after Purple Rain, 1984. So this was, he had then gone.
He was like at his height.
Through the, you know, stratosphere of fame. Purple Rain had come out on a $7.2 million budget, which is actually still pretty big.
It seems pretty big.
And it made $70.2 million at the time.
So he was loaded.
So that was a massive success, right?
Mm-hmm.
He follows that up in 1985, the very next year, with Around the World in a Day, one of my favorite records, our seven-year-old daughter's like favorite record. Actually, yeah. This morning, we were hanging out, and I said, what do you want to listen to? Anything? And she wanted to listen to that record because Raspberry Beret is like her favorite song.
And then tonight before bed, she was singing Raspberry Beret, but she was like, what was it, calling it Poopberry Beret?
Yeah, that's our daughter.
That's all.
And that album went double platinum. It was another number one. So this is why I'm saying this is to just set the stage for
him being a superstar.
Where he was at was at the absolute pinnacle of his career. He would never achieve this kind of fame again.
Like, big for his britches.
Yeah, this was massive. 1986, Prince gets the bright idea because he's riding high. He's got two number one albums, massive successful movie, that maybe he should direct his own movie and star in it. So he decides to take a whack at his directorial debut and comes up with Under the Cherry Moon.
Mm-hmm.
A film that personally, hate is going to hate, but I like it just because I'm a Prince fan. It is a stupid movie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
I don't think I've made it through.
I don't know if you have either.
I feel like I've tried a few times and fallen asleep.
The soundtrack is by far the best part. Parade is the name of the album, even though it's the soundtrack to Under the Cherry Moon. I had that as a kid. Actually, when I was at my mom's house last year going through some old stuff, I found in a desk my cassette tape of Parade.
I have a question. Huh. Was it next to your 1980s rat tail that is still floating around your mother's house?
No, that's separate. That's in a special place.
Why is it still there?
It's in the
Ark
of the Covenant.
Ugh.
You open it up and it glows.
It's because everybody's afraid of it.
Right.
Okay.
86, he gets this idea. Under the Cherry Moon, he's going to direct it.
Mm-hmm.
It's this over-the-top dumb movie. We're not going to go into the details because this isn't an episode about that movie. Although that could have been.
It's not.
We could do that down the road.
We're going to close the door on Cherry Moon today.
This is about the event surrounding the release of the movie.
So it's like a hype-building event.
So he's created this movie,
mm-hmm.
and instead of doing a typical release and, you know, PR stunt, MTV and Warner Brothers, who was his label at the time, decide to partner up, and they get this grand idea to do a contest. The contest is the 10,000th caller into MTV gets to have the world premiere, first time this will ever be seen, of Under the Cherry Moon, Prince's directorial debut in their hometown, 1986, the absolute height of one of the biggest stars in the entire world.
So
that's the contest.
You know that they were hoping for somewhere bizarre. You can't put up something like that and think it's going to happen in L.A. or New York. You have to know that it could be like El Paso, Texas, or Portales, New Mexico, or, you know, wherever.
You run that risk. Sure, you run that risk.
There are a buttload of really small towns with people with nothing better to do than dial their phones.
Yes, except their plan was, what they had planned on, is the odds were it was going to be Chicago or LA or New York, and logistically speaking, it'd be a easy breezy thing to facilitate. Oh,
so they did really think it was going to be in a big city?
100%. Yeah.
Those idiots.
So, that's the contest. People are going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
For a little context also, in the 1980s, this was not a new thing. MTV was doing crazy contests constantly, which is fun. We discussed the idea of doing an episode one time about just all the crazy contests that MTV did during the 80s, but I'll give you a couple that really I've always thought were fun. The big one is Van Halen's Lost Weekend, when a lucky winner got to go, like, basically tag along on tour.
Ugh.
And it got so insane because of the drugs and the alcohol and everything that he nearly died. Yes. So that's probably the craziest one.
That's awkward.
Yeah. Another one was Motley Crue did a cruise through the Bermuda Triangle.
Did they call it the Motley Cruise?
No, I think it was called, like, Lost at Sea or something.
What?
Like, I don't know.
You have to call it the Motley Cruise.
That's a good idea.
That makes me so angry.
Do you want another one?
Yeah.
These are so fun. Another one was somebody won Axl Rose's old apartment building. Like, what? His old apartment.
Gross. Gross. I would be so angry about that. Whose idea was that?
MTV.
That person is fired.
Okay. All of this is to say that it's not a new thing. However, this was by far the most elaborate one.
Okay.
And the money that they were putting into it,
$11 billion,
even at the low end, was still a lot of money to dump into this contest,
because they had to fly a bunch of rich famous people to wherever it was.
Oh, his whole entourage, it was like 200 people that were going with him. All the press,
all of those everything. Like ladies that he renamed follow him.
Yeah, well, that too, but also, like, oh, keep in mind, this isn't just Prince. This is Prince and the Revolution. This is it. This is the golden era of Prince. So all of his entourage, the publicists, the press, everything had to come along too. So this was a big thing. Okay. There you go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
There's the contest. 10,000th caller gets
That's
to have
so
Prince.
Many phone calls to answer first.
I think it was called Win a Date with Prince. Honestly, like, he was going to take you to the premiere.
So I obviously have to imagine myself in the shoes of the winner. I'm almost 5'11", and I instantly think about walking alongside Prince, who is, I think, 4'2".
I think he's 5'2".
3'9".
Who do you think was taller, Prince or Ronnie James Dio?
Prince. No, Dio.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I feel like they're probably the same height.
I feel like I don't care.
Actually, Dio's probably like 5'4".
Oh, I could just let him ride on my feet like our kids when they grab my legs and make me walk.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all.
Okay. So you ready to get started into the actual contest?
Yeah. Do it.
June 20th. A woman named Lisa Barber. She is a maid, like a housekeeper, at the Sheridan Center Motor Inn in Sheridan, Wyoming.
Oh.
Population at the time, 10,369 people. The middle of cowboy country, ranching, fishing, that's it.
We've been to Sheridan so many times, and I feel like I actually was in Sheridan probably around this time, because my family went through there constantly when I was a kid. So I probably saw Prince and just didn't realize when I was
probably.
Four.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. We lived in Wyoming for almost 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Total population of the entire state is 500,000 people. That's it. That's the whole
so
population.
Nice. We all knew each other, every single one of those 500,000.
And by knew each other, you meant are related.
Oh, gross. No!
Oh, zinger!
No, that's what, Kentucky? Georgia.
Okay, anyway.
Mississippi.
So let's get back to it. Lisa Barber, she's a maid.
Yes.
At this Sheridan Center Motor Inn.
I know which one it is.
I do too. I think we've actually stayed there.
I think so.
She gets off of work leaves to go home, where mm-hmm. she lives behind her mother's trailer in a Aww. Trailer park. She lives in the garage that's been converted into a two-bedroom apartment.
Oh, my goodness.
That's where she goes. And she's having some beers with her friends.
Coors Light.
Yeah. Keystone.
For sure.
She's having some Coors Light with her friends.
Jackalope head on the wall.
I'm sure. And they're going to sit around, drink some beer after work, and uh-huh. watch MTV because it's 1986.
What else are you going to do in Wyoming?
Which is, by the way, already a cool scenario. Yeah. I'd hang out with Lisa Barber.
100%.
So she's hanging out. She's drinking beer. She's watching MTV. And okay. this contest comes up. And she gets the bright idea. Wouldn't it be funny to enter it? So she picks up the phone. And she calls. Nope. She calls again. Not the winner. She calls a third time. Not the winner. Fourth time, she is informed that she is the 10,000th caller. And she has just won the contest to win a date with Prince and have the world premiere of Under the Cherry Moon in her hometown of Sheridan, Wyoming.
Had Prince ever been to Wyoming before?
No, definitely not.
Oh my gosh.
So it happens.
Where would he even fly in?
This is insane. Just this entire scenario is insane.
I'm just thinking about regional airports.
Right.
The closest major airport would be Denver, which would be 6 hours away?
You'd think, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
You have to remember this is Prince. He's a so international...
He gets to fly wherever he wants.
He's a private jet. He can go wherever he wants.
Okay. I'm sure they have a strip or like a cow field.
So Lisa Barber just won the contest. Uh-huh. She's sitting in her... like behind her mom's trailer, drinking Coors Light.
Oh my goodness.
Just found out she won. This is a very easygoing woman who is shy. She dropped out at age 14. Out of school. She's just hanging out drinking beer with her friends and just won this contest.
Wow. Okay. I like this journey for her.
It is bizarre. She finds out she wins.
They have to do like a follow-up?
Yeah. Actually, I think I watched some of this winning announcement, too. There's, like, clips of it on YouTube.
Ooh.
They call her back. They're following up with her. And the first thing they want to know is, what would you ask if you were in this situation?
Like, them asking her?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah, you would think that, too. Yeah. My number one question would be, are you a Prince fan?
Right? Oh, yep.
That's a pretty legit question. They ask her, are you a Prince fan? Thoughts?
She's from Wyoming. No. No. When we lived there, we were told we are the only Prince fans for 10 million miles.
Are you ready?
Yep.
She's a headbanger. She says,
she's
quote,
a butt rocker.
Sure. He's okay. She has his tapes, but she was seriously just doing it because there was nothing better to do, and she's just hanging out drinking beer with her friends.
Oh my gosh, this is getting good.
She then responds with, however, she loves Motley Crue. Can she meet Tommy Lee?
What? She's like, I'm gonna just take this for a little left turn.
So, this is what happens.
Oh my gosh.
Now Warner Brothers and MTV have just found out their winner, and it is a headbanger living in a trailer park in Sheridan, Wyoming, population.
Living behind 10,000. A trailer in a trailer park.
Yes.
Wow. That's so great.
Side note and just a disclaimer too. I lived in a trailer for years, so I'm not hating on trailer parks. What I'm trying to say is...
No, but it sets quite a picture.
This is Prince coming to town. Like, this is for the PR. This is absolute worst case scenario.
Or best case.
Well, okay, so best case in the sense of it legitimizes the contest.
Yes.
Do you want to know who the 9,999th caller was from, or where they were from?
Where?
New York City.
Oh, perfect.
So they were one call away.
From just easy peasy.
Easy peasy. This
Good.
Is best case scenario, not only because of where it's at. Logistically speaking, how are you going to even get everybody there?
Oh, yeah.
But the cost included. And so I later read that the organizers said they had a best case, worst case, and that the cost for the worst case was way beyond what they had even budgeted for. That's how bad this got.
Oh.
Because it was impossible.
How can it be that impossible? I mean, what do they need? They need Prince? Like, sure, they could have everybody, but they truly just need Prince and some security. Although, I guarantee nobody in Wyoming cares about Prince.
No. You want to know why?
Why? What do they need?
Because the winner, Lisa Barber, also got to invite 500 friends to an exclusive private concert by Prince and the Revolution.
She doesn't know 500 people?
She said that. She said, there's no way I know 500 people. So they also are going to perform a private concert in the hometown of the winner, which means they have to fly in all the equipment for a world tour.
I feel like they could have scaled it down and just not mentioned it.
They could have. Keep in mind, this is going to be live broadcast on MTV.
So it has to look like the real deal. Yeah, it can't just be them at a bar at Sheridan.
So, as you can imagine, Warner Brothers, MTV, they're kind of freaking out right now. There is some talk about saying, let's just pretend this didn't happen and draw again to get somebody in like Chicago or LA or something like that. But then they realize they'll be called on it instantly.
Yeah.
And that they have to stick with it. So they go ahead and they go through. What's crazy is Prince is informed.
Uh-huh. What did Prince think?
Prince, surprisingly, so Wendy from The Revolution wrote a like memoir later and said she was there when he found out.
Mm-hmm.
And said he surprisingly was totally cool with it. And his quote was, he had no worries. And he said, quote, we're going to rock Sheridan.
Oh!
Cool is that?
That's pretty good.
In a surprise move, because Prince is not known historically for being the most easygoing.
He doesn't strike me as somebody who's mellow. He seems tightly wound.
He was like, you know what? Let's just do it. And he was all in. And there you go. So the stage is now set. Lisa Barber from Sheridan, Wyoming was the 10,000th caller. And Prince and the Revolution and an onslaught of celebrities and publicists.
Well,
and
yeah,
press.
They have to make it look like something.
They're all coming.
Can you even
Wyoming.
Imagine if it was just the team and Lisa Barber and her friends from Sheridan? It would be so weird. It would be the weirdest thing ever. I have a question, though. How old was Lisa Barber?
I think she was in her early 20s.
Okay.
Yeah, she was pretty young. Well, do you want to see a photo of her?
Yeah, because I feel like it could have been, you know, like a 65-year-old woman.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it could have been. This is a photo of her at the premiere.
Oh, hand me your phone. Oh, look, she's got her Beetlejuice clothes on. She looks like Prince is holding her and she's a headbanger.
I'll tell you about her look in a second.
Oh, it's cute.
So, as you can imagine, the Cinderella story gets really bad because the second it's known that she has won this contest and has 500 tickets to an exclusive party with Prince.
Poor Lisa Barber.
People from all over the United States are hounding her on the phone, begging for tickets, pleading, coming up with all these crazy stories.
My grandma has cancer.
Oh, absolutely.
My dog has a broken leg.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one story that the publicist tells later where somebody from like North Carolina or something, I could be getting this wrong, but I'm basically giving you a summary, called and said, like, I have cancer. I'm expected to live by this date or something. Mm-hmm. Please let me go. And they responded with, that's too bad for you because the concert's the day after. So it got cutthroat.
Oh.
And basically, like, you have to imagine this shy little headbanger.
Could she just unplug her phone?
She was way in over her head.
Look, this is Wyoming. You unplug your phone and you go to one of the 10,000 cabins that are in the mountains and you just wait for Prince to send a dove to call you in for the show.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, so this is where the story starts to go truly bananas.
Really?
Okay, so seeing what happened.
Okay.
This PR disaster of a headbanger in cowboy country winning this contest. A woman named Robin Riggs, who was Prince's spokeswoman and publicist, decides to do damage control. When she finds out, Would you like to know where she was when she got the word?
Where?
This is his publicist.
Okay.
She was at a Rat concert, who was also a client of hers.
Rat with two T's.
Sniffing coke and getting drunk.
Oh, good.
And was like, wait, what? Sheridan, Wyoming? Freaks out.
I like how everybody's initial, like, go-to with Wyoming is, like, terror.
Oh, yeah. Still to this day. Yeah, still. Nothing's changed.
That's why it was so great there.
So she flips out and is like, wait, what? Then finds out that Lisa's not even a huge Prince fan. She's a Motley Crue fan.
Mm-hmm.
And decides she needs to get there instantly.
Like to turn her into a Prince fan?
She needs to get there ahead of time and do some damage control. So she books a flight.
Coked out lady decides.
She bought an 8-ball of coke to get her going.
What?
No joke.
Ew.
Goes, flies into Billings because you can't get in there. And then drives, coked out, no sleep, all the way to Sheridan.
Oh.
And arrives at Lisa's house. And what does she see? This shy woman who has shopped at Kmart her whole life.
Of course.
And has...
That's the only store they have there.
Right. Has never worn makeup, has never done her hair, and she's about to have Prince come to her town.
Okay.
So she's like, oh, whoa. Then realizes all this woman wants to talk about is like Motley Crue and Van Halen and stuff like that. So she starts... grooming her on, look, for this day,
you're going
to
be a
Prince
fan.
You have to talk like this. You have to say this. This is going to be a disaster if you're on camera and, you know, things don't go according to his plan. So it's like everything looks like it's just going to fall apart.
This is uncomfortable.
It's super uncomfortable. But they actually develop kind of a friendship. And
her and 8-Ball?
Yeah, an 8-Ball. Yeah. And so they're like working on it, trying to figure some things out. This all is happening. This is the craziest thing. I didn't even realize this until I was looking at the dates.
Yeah, like, what's the turnaround from the contest to the concert?
The 20th is when she called.
Okay, 20th of June.
He's arriving on the 1st.
July?
Yes! Isn't she insane? Okay.
Less than 2 weeks to become a Prince fan.
Yeah, and have a world premiere in your hometown.
Oh my goodness.
Imagine that mayor is like, what the hell? So
we've got two roads. Not really. Sheridan's bigger than that.
So Sheridan has to prep, right? Which is so funny. There are clips of cowboys being like, maybe I'll give him a cowboy hat. Maybe I should name my cow after Prince.
Oh, I hope there are so many cows named Prince.
So it was the biggest thing that's ever happened. They had a few, like, you know, a movie filmed here or there or something like that, but nothing like they were no way were they prepared.
No.
For one of the biggest stars in the world to come to their town and have a world premiere of their film. Sheridan's freaking out. They're trying to prep. Most of the town is pretty excited.
Uh-huh.
But you know where you're at still. We lived there for 10 years.
Yes.
There's still those typical, like, ranchers, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a quote?
Yep.
From one of the ranchers?
Mm-hmm.
This town's known for fishing lures. We don't care about no boy who wears tight pants and struts around like a woman.
Also, could Wranglers be any tighter?
Yes. Yeah. Talk
Whatever.
About...
Shut your mouth.
Talk about cowboy beans. Bringing it back.
Thank you.
Sorry, I used to have a band and we had a song called Cowboy Beans and it was just about cowboys tight pants. Yep. Real highbrow stuff. Okay, so there's the setting. All Sheridan's
right.
ready. They're gonna welcome.
Well, you
Prince.
Know what? Sheridan is lovely in July. It is a beautiful time.
The bighorns are stunning. That's one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Yeah.
It is
and if you
gorgeous.
Haven't been there, you're dumb. Go there and look at it and, you know, marvel in its beauty. But also imagine Prince there.
With his midriff shirt and his high heels. Because that's what he showed up in.
Oh, please. Cowboys wear high heels.
That's true.
Every pair of cowboy boots is high heels.
That's true. That's okay. Why they're all natural born tap dancers.
Why are they so worried about it? They truly, cowboys wear super tight pants and high heels.
Also, cowboys of all groups are the most concerned about fashion.
And they have a lot of rhinestone.
Like bling.
They're basically Prince.
They're a Prince.
Okay.
Yeah. We've really just come up with a revelation.
Revolution.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay.
July 1st, it is the day that Prince is going to arrive.
Okay.
So they didn't have a limousine in Sheridan. They had to get them all from Billings, drive them down, all that kind of stuff. But Prince arrives on a private jet in Sheridan, comes out on the tarmac, and is absolute Prince. Everybody's screaming and hollering. Martha Quinn from MTV there. She's hosting the whole thing.
Okay.
Prince does his thing, whips off his jacket, runs to the crowd, throws it to the crowd. They're all screaming. He's just having a good time. He's like 100% in.
He's not planning to stay the night in Sheridan, is he? He's going to like fly in and fly out in the same day?
Yeah, I don't know if he stayed. No, I do think he stayed. No, he did have to stay the night because it was the next day that was the showing.
Oh, so he had to stay at the Sheraton Inn.
No, he stayed at the Holiday Inn.
What?
That's where the concert was.
That is rude.
He goes up, he greets everybody. And he is now in Sheridan, Wyoming. And it's all on YouTube. You can watch the whole thing. It's all there. Him arriving, him talking to the you know, reporter, running around, being Prince. And it's Prince in 1986. It is so much fun to watch.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. All while all this is happening and Prince is doing this whole, like, shtick, Lisa Barber has Prince's stylist bombard her with hair, makeup. They put her in this slick, like, silk black and white dress, the one
Beetlejuice
that you saw.
Yeah.
They give her pearls. They're, like, making her all up for her one big night. Yeah. This is the big moment for her.
How did she feel about this?
I think she was very overwhelmed because
I
she was
imagine.
Very shy and very kind of introverted.
So she couldn't even speak up for herself and be like, actually, this isn't my thing.
I don't know. You know, so the People magazine article was catching up with her all these years later. It was after Prince died. And so it was her reflecting on that night. And it seemed like she was kind of game for it. However, she was well, you know, just way over her head.
Yeah.
And
she like, sounds like she was really young.
Yeah.
And from Wyoming.
So Prince rents a convertible and personally drives by himself to her trailer park, hops a chain link fence in his little boots.
Why didn't he just go normal?
Struts up to her door, knocks on the door, and she answers. And there is 5'2" Prince in his little like outfit. And he's standing there and he says, "Hello, my name is Prince." Then he kisses her hand. And he says, "Are you ready to have a good time?" And he whisks her away. And she says it was the greatest day of her entire life. And that he was nothing but amazing, perfect gentleman. He could instantly recognize that she was freaked out and shy. So he tried to make jokes, make her comfortable the whole time, kept reassuring her.
That's everything I want Prince to be.
It was kind of like the one moment you need Prince to just step up and do the right thing. He did. And so this is a really interesting story.
Oh.
So yeah, she talks about it. She talks about how they just hung out. They talked the whole way there. So they were driving to the premiere. This is the next day. They're driving to the premiere of Under the Cherry Moon.
Okay.
Downtown Sheridan. They pull up to the Centennial Twin Theater, which I've been in. I've done a conference there before. And I immediately thought, this is where Prince had his, you know, reception.
Oh, weird.
There are thousands of people. There's a parade. There's horses. There's everything you
can
imagine.
And they threw this all together in
a matter of weeks.
2 weeks.
Yep. And they pull up to attend it. The people that are there, it's star-studded. It's like all the stars, the cast and crew, you know, from the film. Then there's people like Joni Mitchell was there. Rosanna Arquette was there.
Weird.
Ray Parker Jr. was there.
Why?
It was just because it was the world premiere of Prince's new movie. So they wanted to see it.
So he just reached in a hat and pulled out celebrity names and they
came? He brought his own entourage. And he was like, yeah, come. We're having
weird.
A premiere here.
I could see that, though. If like Prince calls you and goes, come to Sheridan, you go, okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it was pretty crazy. Sheila E. was there. Mm-hmm. There are just all kinds of people. And they pull up and they go in. Mm-hmm. There's this whole to-do because it's a live event now, right? And so Martha Quinn's like interviewing all the cast and crew and celebrities and stuff like that. And then they sit down for the premiere. Prince sits next to Lisa. They said he put his arm around her and was like making jokes the whole time and stuff like that. The film premieres, and it is not good.
Oh, no.
As one report goes, it was visibly obvious that it was not a good movie.
Oh, no.
But nobody said anything, because Prince is in town, right?
Sure.
It was a $12 million budget, and it only went on to perform worldwide $10 million.
Ooh.
So it was a huge flop, especially coming off of a $70 million movie 2 years earlier.
Wee.
Nobody said anything. But during this live event, afterwards, they're interviewing celebrities and like, what did you think? Blah, blah, blah. And everybody's like, oh, we loved it. They're interviewing all these people. One of the weirdest interviews, and you can see it, is Prince's dad was there.
Oh,
and he's really weird. He's like trying to really get the spotlight for a second.
Of course he is.
And she's, you know, Martha Quinn's like, you know, did he get all his moves and all his talent from you? And he's like, yeah, of course he did.
Ew.
I named him. I'm Prince. I'm the real Prince. I played piano at a strip club and blah, blah, blah. It was awkward and weird.
Ew. Yeah, ew.
It was weird.
Gross.
I could have done without that. But then Prince arrives for the interview. And Prince, because he doesn't want to ever say anything, or he wants to talk in like riddles or whatever Prince does. He
only speak in riddles.
He walks in with Lisa. He's got his arm around her. He's like whispering in her ear and they're giggling and blah, blah, blah. It's hilarious. They're like friends now. Martha's asking like, you know, what do you think of Sheridan? Do you want to know what his reply was?
Yes.
So stupid, Prince. He says, purple.
What?
Actually, he then later says, I'm glad I came. I've never met nicer people in my whole life.
Okay, purple.
But there is this moment during the live interview where he reaches around Lisa's neck and takes off her pearls and then runs off real quick. And I have no clue what that was about, but I found out later and I'll tell
you
as we get to it. It was really weird because he like whispers in her ear. She like nods. Okay. He takes off her pearls and then he like bolts off camera.
Okay.
And then comes back laughing. It was really weird.
Okay.
So after the interviews, the press, this is all live, streaming on MTV. Then we go to the after party. And this is really the most amazing part of this whole entire thing. Because put yourself in Prince's shoes for 1 second. His tiny little, like, size 3 shoes. Like, what would you do? Like, okay, yeah, we had our premiere, you know, whatever. Do you even need to play a show? You could say, I'm not feeling up to it.
Yeah, I just want to go to
the
Holiday Inn.
Get the hell out of Wyoming and just say, whatever just happened.
Uh-huh.
No, like Prince says, yeah.
We
Prince and the Revolution, at the height of Prince and the Revolution, are going to put on a show at the Holiday Inn in Sheridan, Wyoming, to 500 people, exclusive invite only.
Oh.
And they go to the after party. And it is insane. They set up the stage that takes up half the room.
Okay.
They put a riser up that basically they said the ceilings were only like 8 feet to begin with.
Oh.
But then they put a riser. And Wendy was saying like every time Prince jumped, he almost hit his head on the ceiling.
Sure.
That's how like short it was. But they get on and they decide they're going to give it a show.
Oh, I like that.
And not only that, Prince, this thing is on YouTube. If you've watched Prince live performances, like there's one sitting right there. I just was watching it the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Prince always puts on a show.
I could see this being really fun, though, because 500 people who, other than Lisa, really, really wanted to be there.
Yeah.
They would probably be like, the energy of those people would probably be like ravenous. I could see him just like going for it.
You know that Sheridan, Wyoming has never before seen anything like this, nor will they ever again.
No.
And Prince and the Revolution bust into an absolutely like insane set.
Aww.
Like they sound incredible. They open up with this like funk number and then he stops and he yells, yeehaw. And then he says, you know, all right, cowboys, you know, put your hands together.
Aww.
And then they just bust into it. They launch into Raspberry Beret, Delirious. They're just going all out. And this performance is like electrifying.
Wow.
And you can watch it. And I watched the whole thing. I've watched it so many times over the years, but it was bonkers. And Prince, if you've ever seen him live or seen clips of him live, he's a band leader. So like the Revolution mm-hmm. or the New Power Generation, they follow his lead. They follow his cues because he improvises a lot. It's got mm-hmm. this kind of freestyle jazz feel almost. So he'll do his own thing. And then when he's ready, after he's done shredding on a guitar or dancing or whatever he's doing, he'll give a tiny little signal and it is Loctite.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, the Prince and the Revolution, they sound, I mean, the best they've cool. ever sounded. It is amazing. And they're in like a ballroom in a Holiday Inn in Sheridan, Wyoming.
But so, that's the caliber of an artist he is.
He's a performer.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I feel like he would do the same level of energy performing for Sheridan or the biggest performance of his life. I just feel like he was one of those people who it didn't really matter who was watching. It was about the art of making.
Yeah, and the second you turn it on, it's on.
Oh.
Yeah. It's cool. Do yourself a favor. Go on YouTube and look up the Wyoming, the Sheridan performance.
Okay.
It's really
good. I haven't seen it, so I will
look
at it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really awesome. So anyway, that happens. Everybody loses their mind. Mm-hmm. And it's seriously, like, I read interviews with the press and stuff that were there that had been following them.
Sure.
And they were like, that performance was insane. Like, cool. It was just so good.
Of course it was.
Yeah. And I think he closed with like Purple Rain or something like that. I don't think that's on there. They only show a few songs, but that's all you need to get a sense of it. So then after the show, Prince is a gentleman, says goodnight to her. I think he even gives her like a little kiss on the cheek, thanks her for everything. And then she goes home and he then goes to like an after party. And I think he just hangs out with Joni Mitchell. Because if you know that whole backstory, like Joni Mitchell's like his muse. Like he's obsessed with Joni Mitchell. Weird. And she surprised him at this. He didn't know she was coming.
Oh.
And she just appeared.
Well, that's cool that he... Okay.
Yeah,
it's
so
weird
that
he didn't invite Lisa to the after party.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her.
But so he just hangs out with her, basically. Okay. And then that's it. And just like that...
He whisks.
It's over.
There's just
he's gone. He's gone
purple,
the next day.
A purple streak on the runway, yeah. And that's that.
And it's like on Back to the Future with the like flame wheels, but instead it's purple.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's out of town, and Sheridan is left with their heads spinning as to like what just happened to them. It's crazy. There's a minor follow-up to this, though.
Okay.
So what happens is that pearl
thing,
he'd taken the pearls and replaced them with a gold necklace and earrings for her to have and keep. So he wanted her to have nicer jewelry.
Than the weird than pearls.
The pearls that she was wearing. And she still has them to this day.
Of course she does. Yeah.
So she has them. He also
gave
her...
How old is she now? Like in her 50s?
Yeah, probably in her 50s or 60s, something like that. So she gets to keep everything, the dress, all that kind of stuff. But he also left her tickets to his show in Denver. There's some conflicting reports of whether it was the next night or 2 weeks later.
Okay.
But tickets for her and her friends, VIP passes, all that, to go see him in Denver.
Did she?
She went, yeah. So she went, saw the show, and then went backstage. But as the story goes, word had finally hit Prince that Under the Cherry Moon was a colossal disaster. And I think he was kind of crushed by it.
Aww.
Wasn't in the mood to meet all his like meet and greets. And didn't do the backstage thing. However, he left a note for Lisa and 13 roses for her. But that's how it ends.
Oh my goodness. Did he ever contact her ever again?
No, but there is a rumor, and I don't know if she's confirmed it, that he gave her his number and said, if you ever need anything, give me a call. All she said was it was the greatest night of her life.
Oh.
And she still lives in the same exact trailer.
What?
Like, still to this day in Sheridan, Wyoming. Really cool. What's interesting about the fallout after this is there's another little story about during the after party, Wendy from the Revolution was like having drinks and hanging out with Joni Mitchell or something.
Uh-huh.
And the press reported it. And Prince had like a gag order on drinking and stuff like that. Like, he would fine people. So he fined Wendy for doing that because he didn't want the perception to be that they just were like drinking all the time and partying all the time because he was pretty
uptight. How weird knowing the way his life ends.
Well, not like drinking and stuff, but
no, but yeah, I'm
just
saying,
like substance abuse. Sure. Yeah. But so he got really, really upset and they had a big fight And this is kind of credited with being the beginning of the end for the revolution, because they broke up shortly after this.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
That's speculation, but I think that's kind of an interesting story. And then he, right after this, went on to do Sign of the Times, which is basically like one of the greatest albums he's ever made.
Interesting. So he wasn't really hurt by anything.
No, and happened. Then eventually formed the New Power Generation, and, you know, that was that.
So what was the cost, you know, for like putting on this Wyoming production?
I can't remember. I read once and I was going to write it down, and then I was like, I don't know if I care to remember this, but mm-hmm. I think the lower end was $250,000 to put it on, but I think it went way above that.
Oh, yeah. So, I can't imagine.
Yeah. This is the most bizarre kind of final note on this whole story.
All right.
There is a movie currently in development.
What?
Telling the story of Robin Riggs, the coke addict publicist, going there, and uh-huh. Lisa Barber, and that whole story
weird.
Of the craziness that happened to make this whole thing happen.
That's a weird subject for a movie.
It's called Queen for a Day. And you know who signed on to do it and producing it?
Who?
Elizabeth Banks.
That's weird.
I know. So okay. We'll see if it happens or not.
Huh.
But that's it.
Oh, that so is, good.
That's the story of when Prince came to Wyoming for
That's so good.
Days.
I learned so much, and I feel sad for Lisa Barber.
No, I think she's totally content. She seems really
I think
really
she is
cool.
too, but I feel like she should have been given more. I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like she should have been invited to the after party. There, I said it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she was. I don't think she was, though.
They're like, you've got enough, lady.
But isn't that insane? I just love the story. It's so weird. And there's so many moving parts. I left out a ton because
course.
We only have, you know, this one episode. I didn't want to drag it out. If you're interested, you can read up on it on your own time. I do hope a movie comes out because this story is totally bizarre.
It's so interesting. And it really... I don't know. It definitely says a lot about celebrity, particularly celebrity in the 80s, because it was really insane. I guess it still is now, just in a different way. But it's very strange how much power we give to celebrities and how we just sort of presume that all celebrities are adored.
Yeah.
And I mean, it seems like Lisa was just like cool with it, but she also hadn't subscribed to Prince.
But after that, she did. That's for sure. Yeah,
well, because he was just a nice person to
her. And that's the consensus about this whole thing was Prince did the right thing, basically. Like, he was all in. There, I didn't read a single account that argued against that and said, no, that's all bullshit. He was a diva. Everybody said he came in, he whisked her away. He, like, gave her the night of her life, made her feel super special and important and beautiful and everything else, and then performed this insane show in front of this private crowd in Wyoming, and then flew off the next day. And that was
How
it.
Weird.
Done deal.
How weird.
And Sheridan, 10,000 people, ranchers and farmers, went back to their life.
It's so weird because I know Sheridan, Wyoming, so well, and never, ever, ever could I picture Prince standing on any bit of Sheridan land. I just can't. I keep trying to picture him, like, standing downtown, standing at the Holiday Inn, and none of it makes sense to me.
There you go. So okay. There it is.
Well,
the
that
world
was
premiere
fantastic,
Under
Thank
the
you.
Mood. Yeah, thanks for listening. That was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed that, too. It was a blast to research. It is such a strange but true story. It just a kind of just the craziness of the 80s, especially those contests that MTV was doing. This is one of the more bizarre ones, though, I think.
Although I kind of want to hear about the Bermuda Triangle, Motley Crue.
Maybe we'll do it.
Okay.
I could look into it.
But we have to recall it or rename it Motley Crue because
okay.
I'm
That'll be the
very,
name of the episode.
Very annoyed that they didn't call it that.
Okay, everyone. Well, if you like what you heard, please tell a friend, tell some people. Let's get some more listeners. The best thing you can do to help us out is to follow us. Check us out where you get your podcasts. Follow our podcast, subscribe to it, rate, review.
Reviews mean a lot to us.
Subscribes really help too. Because
only
that
positive
means
reviews.
Yeah, you know, yeah, only positive reviews.
Thank you.
And then if you want to follow us, we're on Instagram @LaserGraves. Our personal sites are on Instagram. I'm at death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And until next time, I hope you enjoyed our 50th episode. For those people who have been with us since episode one, thank you so much.
Yeah,
for those tuning
guys.
In. I hope you're with us for another 50, but we're having a good time. And this was a really great way to kind of commemorate
that. Oh, it was a really fun one. Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.